the single most powerful threat to our world might surprise you. It's not violence or corruption, or even a tangible object. What if the most powerful threat to our world is a tiny voice? A tiny voice inside your head that says, you can't make a difference. You can't change the world. Paralyzing you with doubt and preventing you from living and loving in the most powerful way possible. If you have heard this voice, you're not alone. Highland Park United Methodist Church is comprised of thousands of people just like you. And for over 100 years, HPMC has helped people to conquer that sense of doubt and replace it with bold conviction and sacred assurance. HPMC wants you to experience new life, a life beyond anything you can imagine, a life beyond your walls, beyond yourself, and beyond your limits. Because just beyond these walls, our sisters and brothers are hungry, homeless, and helpless. And you have the power to see them with God's eyes. And you could feed them, house them, and help them as they fight to rise out of poverty and grow as disciples. But you won't stop there. Because if you search beyond yourself, you will find your future. You'll see a generation yet to come. Young, passionate disciples who will create disciples, who will create disciples who will share God's glorious light with a dark and broken world. And you could help lead them, teach them. But you won't stop there. Because just beyond your limits, there is still more to be done. You can invest in the hopes and dreams of those among us with special needs. Intervene in the shattered, unimaginable lives of those who are addicted and abused. And you can love them with God's mighty and boundless love. Because you see, the simple or not so simple truth is that the single most powerful threat to our world can be the single most powerful hope for our world. The tiny voice inside your head that says, you can make a difference. You can change the world. Because with God, all things are possible. With God, you can be part of an infinite power for good in this world. You have the extraordinary ability to heal and help, to boldly change millions of lives in meaningful ways. And we believe that is precisely what God created you to do. So the real question is, when you hear that voice inside your head, will you listen?
Well, good morning to everybody. It's so good to have you back. How about the old man, Jason Bales, getting it done, man, getting it done. Dylan would be proud. That was terrific. We are unrolling a program called Beyond. And if you're new to our church or if you're visiting, we're not always in the season of soliciting capital, but we are now. We are now. We do so unapologetically because we just turned 100 years old. And what we want is to reach beyond our past, beyond our legacy, into tomorrow, into the next 100 years. And whoever sits in these chairs and these pews, whoever is involved in the life of this church 100 years from now, my prayer is that they will look back on us, though they will not have known us, and say, I'm glad those people were part of the church in 2017. And I'm glad they did what they did. And I'm glad they had a vision. And I'm glad they had generosity. I'm glad they had foresight. And I'm glad they put flags in the ground and said, these are the indispensable truths. And these are the indispensable priorities of our church. And I hope that 100 years from now, this is a very, very healthy church. We've been blessed. If nothing else, we have been duly blessed by our Lord and our Savior. God has blessed Highland Park United Methodist Church for whatever reason, immeasurably. And we're a healthy church, not a perfect church. Let me be clear about that. All churches have lots of strengths, lots of weaknesses. We have our share of both. But in general, it's a very healthy church, and it's a blessed church. And we don't want to just stay healthy beyond 100. We want to grow healthier. And so we started out last week, and I pushed you to go beyond your limits. And this is a church that loves to go beyond our limits. Like, you guys love records, and I love that spirit about you. You're always challenging me. Paul, how many homes have we built for Habitat? And if I say 100, you say, why not 200, right? You're always pushing me to reach beyond what we think we can even handle, right? If you ask me, Paul, how many kids do we have in our confirmation program? And I say 300, you say, why not 350, right? Why not 400? Why don't we do more? There's always a sense of energy and passion around here pushing the envelope. And in my 16 years of ministry here, let me tell you, this is the most excited I've ever been, and this is the most exciting things in ministry that I've ever seen God do. We've seen a lot of exciting things happen, and it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you and our staff and the energy that you bring every day and the passion and the conviction and the commitment to keep pushing us. But we know to get healthy, you've got to go beyond your limits, right? Isn't that what they would tell you if it was your own health? You got to go beyond your limits. You got to walk more. You got to run more. You got to do more push-ups. If you want to get healthy, you got to eat better. You got to get more rest. See, good health starts with going beyond your limitations. And so my prayer last week and the message last week was that personally, on a personal level, you wake up and you recognize that whatever in your life you think is limiting, not nearly the size of limitation that you think it is, because there is no limitation beyond which our God and our gospel cannot move us. We absolutely believe that. We believe that. And so we're constantly trying to push beyond our limits. But, pushing beyond your own limits will only get you to a certain point of health, but it won't complete you. It will not complete you. And everything that we do for us, right, for us as an institution, for us as an individual, about us, to push beyond our limits, it brings us to good health, but it doesn't really complete you. If you went out of here today and you had an exercise plan and you jogged and you ate better, and you started resting more, doing all these things, you would get to a certain level of health, but you would not arrive at perfect health. You'd be limited, right? There'd be a gap there. And somehow you would start to progress, but you wouldn't be complete. And isn't that the way most of us treat our lives? We try to do something for ourselves to improve ourselves. Right? I've met with a million different trainers and, you know, life coaches and say, all right, Paul, here's the plan. This is what you need to do for you. You need to start fill in the blank, right? Do more push-ups, do more running, da, da, da. It's all about, they've never told me to do something for somebody else. Ever. No life coach has ever told me that. They tell me what I can do for me to improve me. But at no part have they ever said, have you ever considered doing something for somebody else? It's the same thing with financial health, isn't it? You know how many financial planners I know, and they're all awesome. When I say, Ashley and I want to have good financial health, they tell us, okay, you need to save, you need to invest. No one's ever said, how much are you giving away? Now, in and of itself, those things are not bad. Doing things for yourself, those are good. So please hear me here. I'm not calling those out. Those are exceptionally good traits and values. We should do things for ourselves. It's not that they're bad. It's just that they're incomplete. They will not drive you to ultimate health, ultimate well-being. And so here's the question that I want you to wrestle with today. Wrestle with tomorrow. Maybe you'll have to wrestle with this the rest of your life. I don't know, but here's this. What if the best thing you could do for you had nothing to do with you? What if the single best thing that you could do for you had nothing to do with you? This is so counterintuitive, because anytime our health goes, we get internal, right? If you get a little bit depressed, right, you get all internal. What can I do for me? I got to go to the doctor. Those things are all good. They're all good. Going internal is good. It's just not complete. What if the best thing you could do for you had nothing to do with you? So that brings us to the second leg of this campaign called Beyond. I ask you to go beyond your limits today. I'm going to ask you to go to beyond yourselves, because I think that's the missing component, the missing variable that really helps us achieve kind of maximum health, right? Maximum well-being. And that's where we want to be as an institution. So we do a lot of things for ourselves as a church to ensure our health. But we know that while those things are good, they are not complete. And so we keep trying to reach beyond ourselves. Because here's the truth. You can't fulfill you. You will never fulfill you. You ultimately will need more than you can provide or offer to yourself. And here's what I mean by that. If you were to be able to somehow craft yourself in the image that you have always wanted, right? You don't like your body, don't like the way you look, but that's okay. You did all of this stuff to create the ultimate image, the image that you've always wanted. If you could suddenly live where you had always dreamed about living, if you could suddenly drive the car you had always hoped to drive, if you suddenly had the income that you always hoped that one day, if somehow you just won the lottery, if you had the job that you've always wanted, if you had all of those things and could create the perfect version of you, you still wouldn't be happy. You still wouldn't be healthy. Not totally. Why? It's not because those things are bad. It's just that they're incomplete. The key is learning to go beyond yourself. Now, here's how we know this. When the scriptures were written, we start with Genesis. And Genesis tells the story of creation, right? First part of Genesis, God created the heavens, he created the earth, and then he created Adam and Eve. And that didn't go too well because they surrendered to temptation and sin was introduced into the world through humankind. And then the world started to fall apart and get kind of nasty. Then we got Cain and Abel and the first murder and it gets kind of violent. And then the world gets so dysfunctional, so problematic, so violent that God says, whoop, time out. And then there's a big flood. And there's a guy named Noah that builds an ark and away we go. Then after that point in Genesis, about the 12th chapter, the whole rest of the Bible, the remaining 65 books of the Bible are all about a quest. And it's all about a quest of a society in pursuit of or in quest of an ideal, right? God says, I created the world perfect. You guys blew it. The rest of our time is going to be spent on a quest to reclaim perfection, to reclaim a certain ideal of what it means to live as a child of God. That's the rest of the scripture. And in Genesis, the first truth that we learn about this new quest is so profound, and this is what it's about. There's a guy named Abram. Eventually, we know him as Abraham, and he's married to someone named Sarai, and eventually, we know her as Sarah, and they can't have a child. But God says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be the father of all the nations of the world. I'm going to provision you. And they don't believe it because they're old, and they don't think they can have a child, but sure enough, God does what he promises that he will do, and they are blessed. And through Abraham, we begin this quest for this perfect ideal. That goes all the way through the book of Revelation. Now, the first truth that God reveals to Abraham in this quest is this. It's found in Genesis 12:1. This is one of my favorite scriptures. This is one that I wish would somehow go from your head, you know, to your ears and your heart, and you would suddenly live this out, and you would tattoo it on your back or your ankle or wherever you have tattoos, or you would stencil it or put it on a bumper sticker or a pillow or whatever. This is one of these life changers. I'm telling you, this is a big deal. Very simple scripture, but it's a big deal. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country. See, I'm asking you to go beyond yourself. I know you're comfortable, Abraham. I know you're comfortable where you are in your little world, and it's been all about you. But what if the single biggest thing you could do for you, Abraham, had nothing to do with you? I want you to go beyond you. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And I'm telling you, that's what God has done for this church. For whatever reason, God said, Highland Park United Methodist Church, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great church. And I'm going to give you a great name. And let me tell you, we have a good name. We're part of a whole family of thousands of Methodist churches around the country. And do you know one of the churches they look to? Us. We have churches all around the world looking at us. How do they do it? How do they do it? What's going on at Highland Park? This is what God did for Abraham. He said, I am going to bless you. I'm going to give you a great name, Abraham. They're going to be looking to you for leadership. But to do that, you got to go beyond yourself. And then you say, okay, well, why? We're pretty content being a good church with a great name. Well, the scripture goes on. So that. You should circle the word so that. Anytime the scripture says so that, it's very, very important. What it means is the truth that I just told you before, here's why you do it. I've blessed you, Abraham, so that you will be a blessing. All the stuff that I gave you, Abraham, I did that so that you will be a blessing. In other words, the blessings I have bestowed upon you are not exclusively for you. Part of them are, it's okay to be healthy, but you will never reach complete health until you go beyond yourself and realize that you were blessed in order to be a blessing. It's one of the first truths that we see in the Bible on this quest for this perfect ideal. This is what God decides to teach Abraham. Abraham, I have blessed you like crazy for one reason only, so that you will be a blessing. And that's where it all starts. God tells Abraham, I have blessed you exclusively to be a blessing. Now, I love it when the scriptures line up with science. See, so many people think that the Bible and science are like mutually exclusive, opposite ends of the poles, and that the Bible cannot get along with science, and science cannot get along with the Bible. I totally believe that's ridiculous. The more I read the Bible, the more I realize how it lines up with science. And the more I read science and study science, the more I learn that it affirms the truths that we were taught thousands and thousands of years ago. Because, you know, you could go right now at home, you could Google all this, you could do all the scientific research you want. You will literally, if you Google this today, see hundreds and hundreds of studies that talk about the relationship between health and selflessness. They're all over. Health and selflessness. Is there a connection? When you do something beyond yourself for others, does it impact your own health? And the answer in study after study is always yes, there's an absolute connection. I just learned about a study from the UK. This particular study examined 40 studies from over 20 years. One study took a look at 40 studies over 20 years talking about the nature of the relationship between health and selflessness. And this is what they found. A lifestyle of selflessness, volunteering, helping out, reduces stress, reduces the level of depression, reduces the amount of heart disease. We see there's a direct connection. See, you can exercise and jog and run and do all the push-ups you want. You'll get healthy, but only to a point. But you start doing something for somebody else, whoa, you go to a whole different level of health. And science shows this. You know what the data in that study from the UK showed? This was kind of cool. It's even more prevalent for teenagers. That when teenagers engage in a lifestyle of volunteering and helping other people and community service, they have reduced rates of unplanned pregnancy significantly. When teenagers learn to live like this, I don't mean just one time. I mean, when they learn to live like this, they have reduced rates of drug abuse. And you know what the data showed? This is really, really cool. There's a payoff even if they have a crummy attitude, which means you should make your kids volunteer even if they don't like it. There's a payoff, right? There's something that happens internal to us. There's another study. This one's from Case Western School of Medicine. Our research shows that when we give of ourselves, especially if we start young, everything from life satisfaction to self-realization and physical health is significantly improved. Mortality is delayed. You live longer. Depression is reduced. And well-being and good fortune are increased. Are you kidding me? There are studies that suggest when you serve other people, your immune system gets ramped up. You actually fight disease at a higher rate. Study after study. I had the privilege of going to American Airlines this week. They brought in 6,000 of their best leaders from around the globe for this big leadership conference. And they were kind enough to invite me. And I was able to hear Simon Sinek speak. Simon Sinek's written some best-selling books about leadership. Leaders Eat Last is a great read. Start with a Why, terrific read. And Sinek was talking about this same thing. I didn't even know it. And I'm working on my sermon. And I didn't even know if I had time to go to this thing, but I did. And he starts talking about the relationship of selflessness and feeling better. And he talks about one thing in particular, this hormone called oxytocin. And oxytocin is like the love hormone or the intimate hormone. It's the hormone that gets triggered and released in your body when somebody hugs you or pats you on the back. Like when your dad gives you a big hug and says, man, I'm so proud of you, and it just felt good, that's oxytocin. When you hug your spouse, that's oxytocin. At first, I wrote down in my notes, and I wrote OxyContin. And so I'm going through, I thought, well, you know, what kind of benefits do they have at American Airlines? And this is... But I thought, no, it's not OxyContin. It's something you generate yourself. It is a significant hormone in your body, and it gets amped up and released at very high levels when you do something kind for somebody else. This is what bonds humans together physically, physiologically, right? There's an actual glue between humans that comes together when oxytocin is released. This is what happens between people and dogs. Dogs have oxytocin. You pet a dog, it feels good to pet a dog, and then the dogs are like totally fired up, you know, they roll over. That's oxytocin. Both of you guys are kicking in gear with oxytocin. This is so cool. The science says when you do something kind for somebody, you pick up a piece of trash in the parking lot that you didn't have to pick up, you open a door for somebody, right? You do, oxytocin levels go up. And this is what is so cool. Oxytocin levels go up even if you just see somebody do something nice. Isn't that amazing? God told this to Abraham like thousands of years ago. Abraham, I've blessed you to be a blessing. I've wired you. This is part of my divine design. I have wired you to leverage whatever blessings I have bestowed upon you, not just for you, but for others. Is it okay to seek out blessings on our own? Absolutely. Will that bring you to good health? Absolutely. Will you feel good? Absolutely. It's just incomplete. Where it gets completed is when your radar goes up and you start helping other people. Now, here's the point. That's what it means to you individually. Here's what it means to us as an institution. We try to live this out as a church because the same dynamic that was true for Abraham is true for all individuals. And the same thing that is true for all individuals is true for all families. The more your family does for another family, the better off your family is going to be. It's also true for nations. The more we do as a nation for other nations, the better off, the healthier we will be. And it's also true for local churches. So we're compelled not just to raise money to pat ourselves on the back and build more buildings for us. Is that important? Sure it is, but it's not complete. So we're hardwired to pour out ourselves into others because we think, as counterintuitive as it is, the best way to fill up ourselves is to pour ourselves out. That's the way God has wired us. And so as part of this campaign, we're doing two initiatives that reflect that. Number one, we're going to launch a leadership institute. We're creating and establishing a formalized leadership institute where we bring in young men and women from around the country to do formalized internships and residencies here on campus for a year. Why? Because we've been blessed with great leaders. Right? My staff is full of terrific leaders. And it's not just enough to lead for ourselves. We think we're obligated morally to pour out our cup. I'm so blessed. We've got a lead gift on this. We're not there yet, but we got a lead gift, and we're going to name it in honor of my predecessor, Mark Craig. It's going to be the Mark Craig Leadership Institute, and we cannot wait to roll this. You can clap. It's cool. We're going to pour like crazy into the next generation of leader. Why? Because we've been blessed with leaders. This is so incredibly important. And the second thing we do, and this is a biggie, we're going to get back to the business of starting churches. We're going to take what God has blessed us with, and we're going to go plant it around town because we know the best way to reach a city in the name of Christ is to plant new churches. And we've planted 40 of them, 40 churches. No other church in Methodism has planted 40 churches. You can clap for that too. But we're renewing this spirit. So we have a plan to start launching new churches all over the place. And the guy that represents the spirit the most, I think, is a good friend of mine. I want to introduce you to Mr. Steve Grove on video. Take a look at this.
We've always liked the word church planting because to me it really is descriptive of what we're doing. It's planting or the birth of a new child that you have to nurture it in the first years and then you watch it grow and then eventually it takes on its own personality and ministries and outreach. When you find a church that has matured and can have as many outreach programs as Highland Park, you look at their work in the inner city, the building homes for Habitat, the ministering to families with special needs, you reach a certain point where you are blessed and it's your responsibility to reach out and help others. And once you have that, the amount of impact that you can have on the city is tremendous. Now, in helping church plants over the years, I've learned that sometimes it's not successful. If you try to be something that the community isn't, you're not accepted. Highland Park recreated in Munger, I don't think would enjoy the same success as it has as its own personality. Just like when I look at the Grove, I see it as a whole new opportunity to create another personality that is not just a Highland Park campus, but it's its own ministry and outreach and touches the neighbors in different ways than we might hear. We look at it that when the church grows and matures, it's their responsibility to foster that growth. I see the role being, we're not building a building, but we're building a ministry that hopefully is blessed and will continue to grow. And if it does, then it can build the next church and the following church, and that's the growth that we're looking for.
I love Steve, his sweet wife Marla. They just represent for me the essence of what we're trying to do. They push me all the time. Paul, how are we being a blessing to the community? Can we start another church? Can we start another church? Can we start another church? I love their spirit, and I just wonder, how many out there of you would understand what we're talking about and think, yeah. I thought this campaign was just about doing something for us, but it's not. It's about going beyond ourselves. And church number 41 is real exciting. It's in Northwest Dallas. It's called The Grove. We're thrilled about it, and I want to introduce you to Stephen Lohofer. He's going to be the campus pastor of The Grove. He's one of the most talented leaders I know. We're blessed to have him as part of our church, and he's in charge of The Grove.
Thank you, Paul. It's like getting the keys to a new Porsche. It's kind of fun. So it is exciting to be talking about campus number 41, and we're calling it The Grove because as a church, the definition of a grove is a group of fruit-producing trees, and that's what we want to be as a church, to take what Paul has already talked about today in his sermon. We are blessed in order to be a blessing to others. And so we're excited to get started in Northwest Dallas. Let me tell you a little bit about where we are. We're at 635 in the tollway, roughly. We're the southwest corner. If you know where Jesuit is, we're west of Jesuit. If you know where Hockaday is, we are north of Hockaday. And we're immediately north of W.T. White High School, if you're familiar with any of those schools. Now, what's exciting about this is we start new churches so that we can reach new people. And that's why new campuses matter, because people are involved and people are at stake. There's no more effective way, there's no better way to reach new people than new churches. 2,000 years ago, Jesus gathered a group of disciples together and he said, I want you to go and make more disciples. And 700 million Christians later, HP is still leading the charge about what it means to make new disciples. In fact, new churches, check this out. New churches are 10 times more likely to attract people than existing churches are. 10 times more likely to attract people than existing churches. And what's so exciting is the neighborhood that we are in kind of a 3-mile radius, there's 70,000 people who have no affiliation and no relationship with the church. That 70,000 people who we get to share the message and the gospel of Jesus Christ with. That's marriages and families and kids and relationships that get exposed to the healing and transformative power of the gospel. And that happens best through a new church. And so we are so excited about the people that we get to reach. But not only are we excited about the people we get to reach, we're excited about the people and their lives that we get to impact. You see, just north of us, there's an elementary school called Nathan Adams Elementary. And just south of us, there is a high school called W.T. White High School. Together, those two schools have over 3,000 students in them. 90% of those 3,000 students are identified as at risk or disadvantaged. They get sent home with food on the weekends because the school districts aren't confident that they're going to have enough food over the course of the weekend, and they'll show up hungry on Monday morning. And so from day one, we're going to build a ministry that reaches into the schools to give them help and hope where they need it most. I heard a statistic a couple months ago, and it broke my heart. The Texas prison systems forecast how many beds to build based on third grade literacy rates. So that means as third graders struggle to read, our prison populations start building more beds. And so we're going to do something about that at Nathan Adams Elementary. We're going to develop a reading mentoring program to increase the literacy of those students. And we want to make sure that beginning at Nathan Adams, every third grader who moves to the fourth grade knows how to read at the grade level that they're supposed to be at. And then just south of us at W.T. White High School, 2,500 students, their biggest need and their biggest challenge is they don't have adults in their lives who know how to help them navigate the college application and admissions process. My dad said, fill out your applications. It's due in a week. Hurry, come on, you got to do this. I'm sure maybe you have parents in your lives who did this or encouraged you to do that. These kids don't have that. They don't have adults who have a confidence in the advanced education system. And so we're going to make sure that we put men and women in their lives who do and who can advocate for them on their behalf. Because we know that when you feed a child, that's great for a day. But when you can help that child get access to college, it changes the trajectory of that child's life for the rest of their lives. And really, as a church, that's what we're about. We are in the life transformation business. 15 years ago, I walked into a church because I had started down a road that was going to end really bad. I was in college, and the lifestyle that I was living didn't have a good outcome and forecast for me if I continued it. So I did the one thing that I knew how to do. I walked into a local church, and that local church helped me encounter the message of the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, and it reoriented my trajectory in a way that I could have never imagined. And then 10 years ago, I walked into a different local church, this local church. And through leadership and mentor training, through Paul and John Fiedler and other ministers on staff, it helped me explore my calling to ministry, and it totally changed my life. The local church saved my life. And I imagine some of you today, it's done the same for you. It saved your marriages, or your children, your families, your relationships. The local church is the hope of the world. And this work that we are doing is the most important work we can be about. And so we need your help. And here's how we need your help. If you live in this radius, you are within about 15 minutes of the church. Beltline down to Northwest Highway, 35 to 75. You're within about 15 minutes of us. And so here's what we need from you if you live in this area. We need you to help us be part of the Grove. We need to identify a launch team, a group of people who say, I'm committed, whether it's short-term or long-term, to coming and populating this new campus so that when new people show up, there's a smiling, welcoming, friendly group of people who are able to bring them in to the family and the body of Christ. Now, the best part, the kicker, is we got a ton of parking. We got more parking than you have ever seen. So if you are tired of fighting for a parking spot, you can clap for parking. If you are tired of fighting for a parking spot, you come on to the Grove. We are getting started this fall, and it is going to be incredible. Now, if you're saying, hey, I don't live in that circle, what do you need from me? We need you to support the church with your prayers. We need a lot of prayers, because we know if God is behind this, then we just got to get out of the way. So we need you to pray for the Grove. And we also need you to support the Grove financially. There are cards in the seats in front of you. And so if you feel compelled to help us share the message of Christ to new people in this neighborhood, we want you to give. We need it. This is a church startup, and so this is kind of our first round of fundraising. We need your prayers, and we need your finances, because we know that this work that we do changes people's lives. It saves people's lives, and we think that there's no better opportunity than at this new campus and at the Grove. So I'm excited to share and be part of campus number 41 and to share the long lineage of a church who has invested in 40 other churches to share the message of Jesus Christ. Paul, thank you.
Thanks, pal. Oh, he's like the Energizer Bunny. He's like the Energizer Bunny. I'm telling you, if I were 20 years younger, I would crawl out to do this project because it's so very, very exciting. So here's the deal, and then we're wrapped. This is a big deal. We are in a season where we are asking people to step up, to go beyond their limits. But here's why. It's not just so we can do more for ourselves, so we can go beyond ourselves, because we want to be the healthiest church that we can be. And we want to recognize and live into the truth that we have been blessed to be a blessing. That's it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. You've blessed this church in so many ways. You've blessed us all in so many ways. Help us to be stewards of those blessings, and to in turn be a blessing for those around us. Amen.